Hey, good morning, church. Man, it's good to see you. Got a packed house here today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for accommodating all the people to come in here. Hey, all of those watching online, thank you so much for being connected. We love you guys, and I just so appreciate this ability to connect. I feel like I say it all the time, but I love technology when used well, and I love the fact that this technology allows us to remain close, whether you are not in our city, maybe you attend a different church, you just like tuning into us, maybe you are avoiding crowds, or you are trying to stay in an atmosphere that has less potential compromise so that you can keep someone else safe. Whatever the reason, I love the fact that you are close and that you are connected, so welcome to all of you at Church Online. Give it up for those watching, listening. It's good to have you. It's good to have you. All right. Listen, today I got to make an announcement before we get into the message. So if you'll just bear with me for just a moment, I'm going to invite my... Come on, bro. Talk to him, would you? Say something. He was about to. All right, so, about a month ago, I stood on the platform. Tell him what I did a month ago.
So a month ago, Pastor Derek came up, and we announced to the church that he would be leaving the staff. Not the church, but leaving the staff. Unbeknownst to me, that was coming, and God has had me on a very confusing, difficult journey over the last couple months. 21 days of prayer for me was amazing and difficult and ultimately life-changing, staff-changing, so I'll just go ahead and let you all know. I believe that God has called me off of the staff here at Church on the Rock. It is the easiest, hard decision I've ever had to make. It is hard because your children, the youth, the teams that I lead, I love every single one of you. And so it was a lot of prayer, a lot of seeking God. What does this mean? And he said he had a new direction for me. And so easy because when God speaks to me, I have learned to say yes, sir, and I obey. Even if it doesn't make sense, even if I feel like the change will disrupt whatever, even if I know it'll make my brother stand up here and need a box of tissues, I have to say obey. I have to be obedient. I just have to. And so I want you to know my wife. She has her Camp Rock Kids shirt on. She serves in the nursery. She's right back there. Give it up for my wife. She's been instrumental in this. That's not changing. My son serves on the production team, and that's not changing. I am, I guess, what you would call a free agent, serve team captains. I don't know what my role will look like, but I'm here to stay. This is my brother forever. I support him in everything he does in the leadership of this church, and I am around. God has given me very clear vision, maybe not how things will be done, but what and who he has me being called to. And I know Pastor Josh is going to talk a little bit about that, I think, in the message, I think. Right? And
I am, actually.
But I'm here. I'll be here Sundays, and you know, my son is in the youth ministry, so I'm very invested in that. And then I don't know if you want to say anything else.
I'm trying. Okay. I'm really trying. Forgive the emotion, please. This has been hard on our staff because of how close these calls are. And so that's what's made it emotional for all of us, not just me. And so here's what I really believe this with all of my heart. You're way too far away. I really do believe with all of my heart that God clearly spoke to the Outleys and the Quintaries. This comes on the precipice of some vision that I will be rolling out next month that you and Pastor Derek have been a part of the engineering process of and still on board and still a part of what will happen in the future. I'll talk about that in October. But it's tough because of the just, you know, we work together and it's like these are two of my guys and you know, some of our family, and serving with them is still a reality, but working with them, you know, day in and day out, and the text and the conversations and the strategy and the ministry, you know, that's why it's hard. That's why it's hard. But I know that God has spoken to you. I know that God spoke to you. And so I'm excited about what is ahead of us. Honestly, here's what I know. And there's only a few, well, whatever, doesn't matter. Too much context. I trust God completely, like 100% when it comes to people. There are places my faith should grow. But when it comes to people, I've always I've always been like, God, you know. And so in this same case, I'm just like, well, God, you know. So God would not bless the Outleys, God would not bless the Quinteries and abandon us. That's just not what he does. And so it breaks my heart in ways, but it gets me enthusiastic in ways too. Like, well, what is next? Because God, you've been calling us holistically to something different. And I, you know, here we are about to kind of talk about what that looks like and all the vision. And then you start changing players on the board, and it just creates, you know, like a sense of anticipation. Well, what does this mean? And so I just want you guys to know, like, as crazy as it sounds, like nothing's wrong behind the scenes. Because I think I would be asking that question. Like, man, is Josh a total jerk on Tuesdays? Like, what the heck is going on? I would be asking that question. I would. Maybe that's my jaded thinking in ways, but really, it's not like that at all. In fact, the fact that your family will still be a part of our church just means everything to me. Everything to me. And so what I want to do, in the same way we did just a month ago with Pastor Derek, I want to do the same thing with Anthony, who has, can I say the title thing? Can I say that?
Whatever you want.
So Pastor Anthony has requested, hey, in this transition, I actually want to drop the title of pastor, and not because he doesn't want to be a pastor. It's going to be more effective in his new calling and where he's going. It's better for him to be Anthony, where God's called him to, not Pastor Anthony, where God's called him to. And as you talk to him and start figuring, hey, what you doing? And, you know, you get all that stuff, you'll figure out why. But in the same way we prayed over Pastor Derek as the representation of his whole family, we're going to pray over Anthony as a representation of his whole family. So I'm going to ask you to stretch your hands toward the front. Even online, if you would, just toward the TV, just stretch out your hands. This is our way of saying, hey, man, we are just in agreement with what God has called. Oh, yeah, put your hands down. Don't be tired in just a second. Let me just say very, very quick. Thank you. We'll figure this out. We'll start the message one of these days. We should just do like a talk show. Like,
yeah,
we'll kick it. Good. I'm just kidding. All right, so for parents are going like, well, what about the students? And so Jonathan, who was right front and center leading worship this morning, will be standing in this season as our youth coordinator. And so you'll look to that transition. This coming Wednesday, we'll kind of unpack that news to everybody in terms of students and all that kind of stuff. And then, we'll make that transition. They know each other very, very well. And so that'll be, I think that'll be good. Go ahead. You got anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, so I'm excited for Jonathan to take over. He was one of my first sixth grade boys in one of my, you know, small group times with our previous church. So I have gotten to watch him grow and watch him lead, and he has complete access to me. And, you know, my son is in seventh grade. My daughter will be going into middle school next year, and I have full confidence in him and really full confidence in his passion for students and the way that he loves them, and the fact that he knows how to text me. So that is really helpful too. So any questions he has, but I just wanted to make sure that parents knew, like, we have a plan. Like, that was the biggest thing for me was, God, well, what's next? And so your students will be taken care of. We have an amazing youth team, even beyond Jonathan, our ladies, the guys who really care for kids and the next gen here. And all of the areas are being taken so well care of. I mean, we saw that if you came to 21 days of prayer, that was one of the things that God really opened my eyes to, is we didn't just have staff members and pastors speaking up here. I can look around the room and see so many faces that have a passion for Church on the Rock and the passion to move the kingdom of God forward. Yeah. And it is in such good hands. It is that's part of the easy part, to let things go, because so many people carry so much amazing weight here, and I appreciate every single one of you.
Awesome. All right, so stretch your hands now. You'd have been tired, wouldn't you? We're just going to pray God's favor over the Quinteri family in this new season. Father, we love you. And God, here's the truth. We trust you. We trust you. Father, thank you so much for these last few years that I've had personally the privilege to serve day in and day out alongside Pastor Anthony. Thank you so much for our friendship. Our brotherhood. And God, I pray that as he transitioned into this new season, I just pray, Father, that you would bless beyond measure. I have no doubt he is called into a mission field that's specific and laser focused, just like Derek was. And so, God, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would produce fruit there, that you would use Anthony to change lives there. Father, that you would help him to make an impact on his coworkers and clientele and the people, Lord God, in which he will be with day in and day out. And I pray that the hope and the light of Jesus shines bright because of him and what you're calling him to do in the marketplace. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, I had it pulled together. Janelle, there's a water, I think, somewhere near you that it's mine. Thank you so much. Okay, you guys ready to get into today's message? I'm getting there. Grab your message notes out if you would like those. They'll be in the seat backs in front of you or underneath your chair if you're on the front row. If you're tuning in online, they should be in the YouTube description. If you don't want to do that, that's perfectly fine. I never want you to feel obligated to be a note taker. I just make that an opportunity because I'm a note taker. But everything that I talk about today will be on the screen. You'll be able to see it firsthand. But I'm very, very excited about this series that we're in. I never drink water during my messages. Give me one second. Just let me pull it together here. All right, here we go. I'm ready to deliver God's word. I'm excited about this series that we are in. How many of you guys have been here for both installments of this series so far? Give me a whoop or a hand or something. Yeah, you've been. All right, good. Listen, if you have missed part one or part two, that's okay. Today's message will have the ability to stand on its own. But listen, I'm going to say this very candidly and like very forwardly. I want to lead you. I want to pastor you that if this is your church home, then it would really behoove you. That's one of my drill sergeants used to say all the time. He'd say, it would behoove you, soldiers. It'd behoove you. And he would tell us what to do. It really, really would behoove you, which means in your best interest to go watch parts one and two. Because what we're talking about in this series called Kingdom Culture is we're talking about these four pillars in which our church stands on. Like, this is everything to us. And the reason that it's everything to us is because we actually believe, according to Scripture, that this is everything to our Heavenly Father. This, we believe, is what God wants for all people, for all of mankind. And so we're driving these pillars and anchoring that, hey, this is who we are, and everything we do builds on top of these four things. So let's get started. We've been starting right here with the words of Jesus, where he said, hey, I want you to seek first. What is it?
The kingdom.
And I do believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would suspect that there are people that are like, yeah, that sounds great, but what is that? Like, okay, seek the kingdom, but what is the kingdom? And that's really what I've been trying to unpack and help us to understand. We want to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us. So here's how we've been describing the kingdom, is we've been calling it culture. Very quickly, I've said this every Sunday so far, if you went to a new place of business, if you got a new job, what you would be trying to do is determine what the culture is. In other words, like what is valued here? So what's valued here, I need to know so that I can live out those values and then I will fit in the culture. And so Jesus is saying, hey, we need to discover what is valued according to God. The Bible refers to it as the kingdom. And so these four things that we're going to talk about over that we've talked about the last 2 weeks and for the next two, these four things we believe are anchors. Like God is like, this matters to me more than anything else. I've wanted this for mankind from the very beginning. I want it for mankind right now. I'm going to want it for mankind for generations to come. I don't think God will ever change. Does it sound intriguing? How many of you guys would like to know? And so what we've been doing is we've been starting with this prayer that comes from the book of Ephesians. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing down a prayer that he prays for the Ephesian church. And here's what he prays. He says, I keep asking. Now, I want you to recognize the fervency of his prayer. Like, I am calling on God on a regular basis. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, I'm praying that you would understand some things. And I want you to notice the four things that he points out. He says, I want you to have this wisdom and revelation so that you may know him, right? That's what we talked about week one, that it all begins with knowing God. Yeah. Like nothing else is going to work apart from him. Nothing else. So it starts that, man, I want you to know him. And I love how he says better. I like this word because I feel like you can know God once, but then you can know him more and more and more and more. So yeah, there's a process that it begins there, but it never ends there. Is that making sense? I'm trying to review quickly. So if you're catching up, you're like, just YouTube's got you. All right, you can go watch part one and two. Then verse 18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Like on the inside, some things need to sort of, you need to see some stuff. You need to have a deeper understanding. And in other words, let me say it like this. This is how I like to describe it. Like on the inside, you go, oh. You ever had one of those moments? Like oh, I had one of those weird, I'm not even going to tell the story, but I had a weird moment like that this weekend, didn't I, Lauren? Where I just was sort of like, oh, it was like, duh, right? That one was more like, duh. But I think in some cases, like God wants us to have this inner understanding where we go, okay, it makes sense. I can see it now. He wants the eyes of our heart to be enlightened, and there's a reason for that, in order that you would know the hope to which he has called you. Like, let me say it like this. Jesus doesn't want to save you just so you are saved. He wants to save you because he has a purpose for your life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. All right. And then so the hope that he's called you, the riches of this glorious inheritance. And then I just want you to notice that it ends with this people, like I'm going to make you a part of a people. So let me describe it like this. You'll never succeed alone. We're better together than we are apart. God has designed us to function as a family. The Bible calls us the body of Christ, and Jesus is in fact the head, and so he tells the body what to do. In the same way, the Bible says it this way, I'm paraphrasing, but the Bible describes in the same way that our body has different parts and functions, it works in unison to achieve a goal. Well, the same thing for the church, like the body of Christ is that, hey, we have these different things about us, but when we work together, it produces good results. And this is the big idea. And so these four things that are identified in the prayer of Paul, we've put language around them, and just in transparency, we borrowed it. But nonetheless, this is our language. And I want you to write this down. I'm having our church family write it down every Sunday because I need you to get it. I need you to know it. I need you to be able to repeat it back to me 17 months from now. Like, what do we do here? What are the four things that we do here? And I want you to be able to say this. I want you to be able to say, know God. Man, we want people to know God. God wants this more than anything else. We want people to find freedom. Come on, how many of you know we got issues? Right? We all, listen to me, we all have issues. So I say it jokingly sometimes, but I'm gonna be pretty serious about it now. Like, if you think you don't have issues, that in fact is your issue. All right? And then those of you that think that you're just covered up and riddled in issues, I want you to know, like, we all have them. So you are not worse. You are not disqualified. You are not less than. You're just like the rest of us. Say amen, would you? Because we need freedom from stuff. for all of our lives, we have to, like, we have to understand that I can get freedom from something right here, but I may need freedom from something next. And then once I get freedom from that, there's probably going to be something else in my future. Come on, we need freedom. Amen. This seemed to resonate deeply with a lot of people last week. Again, you can go back and watch it. Third is, we say it this way. Hey, we want to discover purpose. Again, Jesus didn't save you just to save you. He saved you because your life has purpose. I'm going to prove that to you today. Your life has purpose. And then the reason that he wants you to discover a purpose, because he's designed you to make a difference. Yeah. Amen. This, I believe with all my heart, is what God wants for every human being that lives and has ever lived and ever will live. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Amen. Therefore, everything we do at Church on the Rock is built around these four things. It stands on those four things. So today, we're gonna focus on discover purpose. Now, I honestly think this was a fun one. It's super fun because it starts to get inside of us and it starts to initiate some things inside of us. And so we're gonna focus right here on discover purpose. But we're gonna jump back to Paul's prayer. I want you to just look at verse 18. He says this, I pray, for we are God's handiwork. And notice that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Like, we were designed by God, fabricated by the Father to do good works. And I want you to notice this, that God prepared this stuff ahead of time. In advance. So the idea, if you've ever bought into the lie that, like, I'm just another person, I'm just a face in the crowd, I am, and I don't care what you've been told or what the story of your life has been. Listen, it doesn't matter what you believe on the inside about you. I pray that the truth of God's word sets you free today. Yeah. That, like, everything about you, God did that. God did it. I know, but I have a temper. No, I know. Like, but God wired you a certain way. Certain things bother you, and there might be a reason they bother you. Well, I know, but I just, you know, I just have this issue with self-deprecation. No, I know too many people do, but God wired you a certain way on purpose. And we're going to dig into that today because you are God's handiwork, created to do good works a long time ago. No accidents in God's kingdom. Amen. Amen. All right. Another thing that we say, and then we're going to, real practical today. I am moving really fast. You guys okay? I just realized I'm like hustling. All right. This is where it gets fun. This is where it gets fun right here. Watch this. I believe with all my heart that your design actually reveals your destiny. That the way that you were put together, remember, you were created by God. You're his handiwork. And he did that in advance. The Bible actually says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. So this is my theory. You don't have to agree with this. If you disagree, it's fine. It's just my theory. I believe when you look at the story of creation, I find it very interesting that God, everything in creation, God just spoke it into existence. You know, let there be light, there was light, and it was good. And let there, and it was good. And, like, so everything God said, it just happened, and then it was really good. But when it came to making Adam and Eve, God fabricated them with his hands. I just, with all my heart, I believe that that was intentional. I believe it was documented that way intentionally. I actually believe that it shows the emphasis and the value on you. Because he could have said, you know, let there be Josh. Like, it could have happened that way. That's not what he did. He took the time to form me and to put me together and say, all right, he needs to be with these parents because I'm going to have this mark on his life and he's going to do this thing. And all those challenges, yes, that he'll face, they're going to do something on the inside. It's going to set some value in him. It's going to sharpen him, strengthen him, whatever it is. All those victories, those wins, those moments, this is who our God is. And I believe still, I believe still that God still does that. That's just me. You don't have to believe that. But I actually believe you are formed by the hands of God in the womb. That's just me, okay? All right, now let's look at King David, one of my favorite people in all the Bible. I mean, how could you not love him? But Psalm 139, David said this. I want you to pay attention. We'll go through this and make sure we get it. David said, he's speaking, he's praying, he's talking to the Father. He says, you created my inmost being. Notice what he did. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I just think the Bible emphasizes your value. Like you're more important than the sun and the oceans and the birds and the white-tailed deer, amen. You are. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He says this, I praise you because I'm fearfully, now watch his words, and wonderfully made. Some of you need to get into Psalm 139 and read it till you believe it. Like the power of the word of God can set you free. It will set you free. And some of you don't believe this about you, but David, this is not arrogance. This is not pride. This is a deep understanding. Let me say it this way. The eyes of his heart, oh, I understand something. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and God, you did this. And listen, God's no respecter of persons. He wouldn't do for King David what he wouldn't do for you or for me. Amen. And here's the thing. He says, your works are wonderful. And here's the best part. And I know that full well. Here's the problem with the vast majority of Christ followers today. They don't know that. In fact, studies have shown that. There are masses of people that love God. They do. And they know God. There are masses of people that are saying out loud, they're saying to themselves, well, like, well, God's still working on me. You know, man, well, I know God, but he sure is still working on me. My response to you would be, well, join the club. Because God's still working on me. I don't think God will ever stop working on me until I transition from this earth into heaven and get into my glorified being, and then it's done. But until then, I'm gonna have something that I need to overcome. I'm gonna have something that needs to be molded more into the image of God. Because I'm human, I'm imperfect. I have flaws and problems and issues, and what I need to do is let God mold me into who he's calling me to be. And what I love about King David, it is like, I know that you did this, and I know why you did this. And what I want for Church on the Rock, because I say it like this all the time, I have thoughts about the whole church, like at large, but I'm only responsible for this church. I'm gonna pastor you to the very best of my ability. And what I'm hoping is that this church, people that plant at Church on the Rock, will say, I know that God made me, I know that he made me wonderfully, and I know why, in fact, he made me, like the reason for it, because you were called to a purpose, everybody. So David had this understanding, and then I'm just reinforcing it with his words. My frame was hidden from you, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And then I just like it. I just feel like it's a good way to kind of emphasize all the days, all of them, were ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them even came to be. You were created on purpose for a purpose. You are not an accident. Now, here is where I think it's going to get fun. Now, if you are a note taker, this is like the best time to take notes. If you're not really a note taker, you might want to reconsider right here. Or you might just want to grab out your smartphone and take a picture here in a few minutes. I'm going to put 5 questions on the screen that you're going to ask yourself. 5 questions. Because the idea here is discovery. I got to discover something. And so one of the things that we have to do as followers of Christ is we actually have to start asking some questions like, okay, well, if God made me on purpose and for a purpose, and if I'm aiming to be like David, where I understand that like I'm wonderfully made, and then I start to get it like, okay, like there's a reason that I'm nuts about cleanliness, you know, or whatever your thing is, or like I couldn't care less, whatever, let's relax. You know what I mean? Like whatever you do, okay? Whatever it is that you do, some of you are passionate about people, and some of you will knock people down to get a task done. Some of you guys, you know, like you're more concerned about results. I'm results driven, and it can be dangerous to the people if not careful. Some of you guys are like, forget the results, man. How you doing? Right? Like God did that. God did all that. Are you with me? And so these questions are going to help us with the process of discovery. Question number one. Again, you can write this down, or I will have all five of these on the screen at one time. And you can just zoom, and I'll make sure. I'm going to give you the space and the time. You can take a picture. You can screenshot it if you're watching, you know, whatever. Here we go. Question number one that I want you to ask yourself is this. What are you naturally good at? What are you good at? There are certain things that you just, they just come naturally to you. Some of you, just as examples, some of you, when it would come to like physically, you're just naturally athletic. You didn't have to like work hard to be a great volleyball player. It just sort of came to you. And then once you realized like, hey, I'm kind of good at this, then you honed it and then you worked on it. Some of you guys, you couldn't outrun a sloth. That's just not your thing. But when you pick up that instrument, man, like that just comes naturally. Me, by the way, like I get accused all the time of being obsessive compulsive. Straight lines are my favorite thing in the world. I like perfection. All right, that's what I like. I like things to be orderly. I'm a systematic nut. I just believe that systems deliver vision. And so I like things to like, I want there to be like manuals, you know what I mean? For everything, because I want you to be clear and like, this is how we get things done. There are some of you like, that's not natural for you. Like I walk in and the first thing I see is a crooked row. Sometimes, and I'll pick on Miss Lorene, she's on our staff, and at the staff meeting table, she'll do this stuff to me sometimes just for fun. This is one of my favorite examples. At the staff meeting table, oftentimes there's like this little cup, and it's full of Church on the Rock pins, you know? And she used to just take one just to see. She's like, I just wonder how long it'll take Josh to see this. And she would just turn one upside down. And we'll be in the middle of the meeting. I can't help it. Like, this is the first thing I see. Like, I can't even, like, I twitch and stuff, turn it over. I was catching that so quickly that she then advanced it, and she said, well, I'm just going to click one. I see it every time. I can't help it. Well, that's natural for me. Some of you guys, you don't see it that way. Some of you guys walk into a room, and you just naturally want to go to the person sitting by themselves because that's who you are. Some of you guys, you're like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to be behind the scenes. Like I'm the quiet one, right? Like, but like, what are you naturally good at? What do you do that you're like, this is easy? I like it. I don't really have to work hard. It just comes to me. This may be an indicator of purpose. Question number two, where does your life produce the most fruit? Let me say it this way. Where do you get the best results? Is it turning wrenches? Is it having tough conversations? Is it starting things and getting things off the ground? Is it taking something that is already working and making it better? Is it parenting? Is it being the manager at your place of employment? Like, where do you get the best results? This may be an indicator of your purpose. This may be the place in which God's saying, I want you to make a difference here. Because certain things, they just come naturally to you. You're good at them. You're better at them perhaps than some other people are. And certain things, like you just, when you do it, it just works. When other people do it, it doesn't work. Or they get frustrated by it. Is this making sense? All right, so like we're gonna have some introspection. Like, all right, I need to look on the inside. I need to sort of start to figure out like what is good. But I think my next question is this one. That is number three. This is an important one. What do others affirm about you? Like, what do they say? Because some people went to the American Idol auditions and they needed a real friend. You know what I mean? They needed a friend. They didn't need their mom who's like, love you, baby. You're so good. No, they needed a friend to be like, you are awful. This is not going to work. You're going to be the idiot they put on the reels. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. I always wonder where those people's real friends are. Come on, right? But maybe there are things that people say. Maybe it's when people come to you and be like, man, when you had that little conversation with me, when you just pulled me aside after service on Sunday and you just said those couple of encouraging words, like, you have no idea, man, how much I needed that. That was huge for me. And you're like, oh, really? Like, we spoke last Sunday? Right? But there are going to be certain things that people are like, man, when you do it, like it's really good. Or my goodness, like That was the best I've seen that. Or man, every time you this, wow. Like, what do other people say? What do you get affirmation for? This could be an indicator of purpose. Maybe I should lean into that. Well, maybe it's bigger than just what I do at work. Maybe it's more about the people in which I work with. Maybe it's not that I'm a great mechanic. Maybe it's that I'm a great mechanic that knows how to really manage people. So maybe the wrench opens the door for me to actually have influence. Are you tracking? You got to kind of do it in your own place, because you could be a college student and not doing anything like that. But like, where's the affirmation coming from? What are you good at? Where do you actually see fruit? You with me? All right, cool. Number four, here we go. Here's a good one. This is a big one. The question is, what are you compelled to pursue? And I'm trying to give you multiple ways to say it. Like, what matters to you? What is important to you? What is that? I'm going to use Pastor Anthony as an example, because what God has called him to do is directly in line with the passion and like this need inside of him to go serve a certain type of people. He's compelled to do it. And they're bonus, like there could be, think like this, like what in your life, in your past has been so good that you want to see it replicated? What's been so poor that you want to see it stopped? These two things drive conviction in us that creates something that compels us towards something. So maybe your home life was so toxic and so unhealthy that it drove inside of you a strong, compelling urge to have a very healthy family. Maybe you had like the most generous friend you've ever seen. And you like, I don't even understand. Like, do you ever think of you? You think of everybody else all the time, and it drives inside of you, I wanna be like that. I'm compelled toward generosity. What moves you? And I think just looking in the rearview mirror of your life may help answer some of these questions, because there are certain things you wanna see replicated. There are certain things you wanna see stopped. What moves you? What compels you? I have to pursue it because of whatever the answer is. Is this helpful? All right, one more, and then we're gonna close, all right? Number five, what opportunities are before you? Like, what's in front of you? All right, let me say it this way. You may have a natural ability. You may have a place in which you produce some fruit. You may have affirmation from some people. You may have a drive. You may be compelled to some stuff, but that opportunity may not be right in front of you, but what opportunity is? Or maybe there's an opportunity that's staring you in the face, you're just terrified of it. Like, I don't know. But like, this is God saying, the door, I'm like, come on, take this step. The opportunity, Anthony, it was opened to you. He didn't seek it, it found him. Yeah. Derek, same thing. He wasn't looking, it pursued him. Hey, there's an opportunity here. What do you think? He was like, man, I actually think, since you keep pestering me, come on, both of them, everybody's trying to steal my team. Stop it. But like, all right. Why? Because there was opportunities. All right, this would be the moment. Take the pictures. If you want the pictures, I'll give you a moment. I know I was kind of standing in the way. You can zoom in. If you miss it for any reason, honestly, just send it, hit contact us at cotr.live. I'll make sure you get these questions. Our team, we'll do whatever we gotta do to give you these to help you, okay? You're gonna find, by the way, if you're really digging this one, don't miss next week. They are so layered together, it's unbelievable, okay? Don't miss next Sunday. All right, what are you naturally good at? Where does your life produce the most fruit? What do others affirm about you? What are you compelled to pursue? And then what opportunities are before you? All right, now, so here's the question. Here's the question. I've been doing this every week. Praise the Lord. I've been doing this every week. That startled me a little. I thought something was coming to get me. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm tough. Whatever. I love you. Woo. All right. Come on. I go out in the woods in the dark. I'm a man. All right. That startled me just a little. Every week I've been doing this thing, and I've been titling it Kingdom Culture. And what I've been doing, part one, part two, today part three, next week part four, I've just been giving you two action steps. Like, all right, if I'm going to live in this culture of God's kingdom, what are action steps I can take? That's the big idea, all right? And so here we go, Kingdom Culture. You can write this down on your notes again if you're a note taker. And the first one is this, okay? You're going to investigate your makeup. I need to do some introspection. Investigate me. Who am I? What am I good at? What do I like? What bothers me? What do I love? What excites me? Like all those questions. And I would encourage you, you might want to sit quietly away from the TV and away from your phone and all that kind of stuff. Maybe get some worship music playing if that's how you roll or whatever. And really begin to pray and say, God, help me see. Open the eyes of my heart so that I can see the hope to which you've called me. I need to investigate my makeup. God did that. God wired me that way. And P.S., this is not an excuse to have bad habits, because we should pursue the kingdom and his righteousness. All right. So I'm going to investigate my makeup, and then I'm going to initiate my mission. So let me say it like this. Try some stuff. Try it. Put some things in beta test. Find out if it works. You know what? In the next meeting, I'm just going to speak up and try to encourage somebody. Let's see if it's well received. People might be like, I needed that, thanks, bro. Some people might be like, you're an idiot. You know, whatever. You got to measure that. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to say. You gotta, but like, let's initiate some things. This is something I say to myself, okay? I say it to myself. I would rather fall on my face than on my back. So I would rather strike out swinging my bat than watching the pitch. Like, go for some stuff. Be okay to fail a time or two. But measure the data and start to say, okay, this is working. Oh, you know, man, wow, I'm finding traction here. This is bringing life to me. Or you might just be like, all right, that's not the path. Well, let me try some more things, but it's a process. So I'm going to investigate my makeup. I'm going to initiate my mission. I hope this is helpful. I hope this is helpful because I want us to be like David. I want us to know it full well. I was wonderfully made by God on purpose. For a purpose. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. We'll try to close this as soon as possible because of our announcement. The service has gone just a touch long. But if you remember in the news, Anastasia said, hey, Pastor Josh is going to give you the opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus. I want to do that right now. My hope is that every Sunday there are people that are in our church or tuning in online that have never made a decision to follow Christ Jesus. Right now, I'm talking directly to you. And all I want to do is invite you to begin that relationship. And let me say it this way. I want you to know God. That's what I want. God wants you to know him. And so the Bible says this, that there's only one way to get to God. Jesus declared, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the bridge to knowing God. In fact, you can't know God any other way. And so what I want to do is just invite you to repeat a prayer after me, because I believe God has already done the work in your heart. I'm just going to be a tour guide. I'm just going to walk you through a simple prayer of introduction. And so if that's you, I want you to say this prayer with me. And church family, you know how we do it. I always ask everybody to say it out loud. I want those saying it for the first time to be able to say it with complete confidence. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's put our hands together and congratulate those that said that prayer. I love you guys.